everyone. Welcome to the Rosie and Bill Show. In addition to 6 number one hits and dozens of charted singles, our guest tonight has the greatest job in the world. He gets to make people happy. Please welcome to the Rosie and Bill Show one of country music's most beloved and respected performers, T. Graham Brown. Hey, T, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. We sure are, T. And I'll tell you what's interesting is we normally start our show by turning the clock back, usually way back to when things started for our guests. But tonight, if you don't mind, we're going to do things just a little bit differently. We're still going to turn the clock back, but instead of going back years, we're going to go back just a couple of weeks. And you were sitting across from Vince Gill. And Vince shared some news with you that literally brought tears of joy to your eyes. I have to ask, T, did you have any idea you were about to receive the invitation that Vince shared with you?
Totally blew my mind. No, I was not aware of it at all, nor Sheila. It was a big orchestrated surprise. It was really wonderful, guys. I mean, it was the best news. We've been wanting to be members of the Opry for 40 years, and it was just so sweet of Vince to go to the Sirius XM in New York was in on it, Sirius XM in Nashville, the Grand Ole Opry, and Vince and all his people were all in on it, and it was just a wonderful, total surprise.
What did you think was happening?
Oh, I was just interviewing. See, I have a show on Sirius XM, and I was interviewing the New York office of Sirius XM called me and asked me if I wanted to interview Vince for 30 minutes. And I said, yeah, we'll do that for sure. And so we set up in the Sirius XM Nashville office. They just opened up a new studio there. And they can have a live audience. So they had a live audience. And so we sat there. My show's called Live Wire. I play live cuts from artists' live albums. So it's all about live music. And we just talked, and Vince sang a couple, and I sang one of his songs. And we're just talking. And they told me I had 30 minutes, that Vince could stay 30 minutes, and then he had to leave, go to another thing. So I was watching the clock on the wall, and it had gone by 33 minutes, I saw. And I said, well, man, it's time to go. You know, I was ending the interview. And he said, oh, by the way, how many times have you done the Grand Ole Opry? And I told him. And he said, well, this whole thing's been a setup, man. The Opry sent me here to invite you to be the newest member of the Grand Ole Opry. And I thought he was – we're old friends. I thought he was joking. I went, oh, bull. That was my – reaction. And he said, no, man, it's for real. And I just started crying. It was wonderful. And then when the Opry people walked out and I saw them, I knew it must be real. So it was a wonderful thing. It was a beautiful thing to see, I tell you.
Well, I'll shoot you straight. I was asked to come here by the Opry to invite you to be the next member.
Oh, bull.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes. Maybe you'll sing that song on that night. That'd be cool. No, I was asked to come in. It's all right, brother. But they love you and
oh, man. Oh, my goodness.
I didn't write those songs.
Please tell me you're not kidding.
I'm not kidding you.
This is the greatest thing.
Yeah, well, I'm proud to be able to get to ask you to do that.
And man, thank you.
Yeah.
You don't know what that means to me, buddy.
I do. I see it. And it does hit.
Hey, Sheila. Wherever you are, man. That's amazing.
Well, yeah, we saw the video and it was touching and it was real and it was genuine. And I think, T, if I heard you correctly, didn't you say you played the Opry like 300 or 400 times?
Yeah, I 300 and something. We're going on 400. So, yeah, we're right at 400.
I just got teary-eyed when you told that story, and I, you know, I'm not
Oh,
being
it was,
affected, but
Rose, it was great, man. I'm telling you, it was great. Vince and I've been knowing each other for 40 years, and we're really, really good friends. And we joke all the time, you know. He's got a great sense of humor, and I do too. And we're always goofing off on each other. And I just thought he was kidding, but no, he wasn't kidding. I was so happy.
You've played the Opry that many times, it seems well deserved.
It was fun. You know, we left that interview and I went straight to the Opry to do the Opry that very night. So, and now looking back, I know the Opry had that part of it planned out too. So it was a perfect day. We still are really, we're floating around the house. We're on cloud nine. We've been hearing from so many people. It's unbelievable. I mean, we've literally heard from thousands of people.
That's just such a beautiful accomplishment. Congratulations. Where does that rank?
Oh,
with
that's
all
number
the other
one.
Accomplishments.
That's definitely far and away number one. I mean, I've won all kinds of awards, and I mean, I've won the big awards, and the being a member of the Opry to me is the crowning achievement of our career. It's something, and it's Sheila too. It's not just me. I mean, it's both of us. So I wouldn't even be here if it weren't for her. So yeah, it's a joint honor.
Wow. Well, and well-deserved, as Rosie indicated just a couple of minutes ago, T. And, you know, it was about a year ago, Henry Cho on the show, and he got surprised by Marty Stewart. So
yeah.
He kind of went through that same feeling that you did, and thinking, is this a joke? Is this for real? But just seeing your genuine reaction. For folks who haven't seen the video yet, it's on your Facebook page. I know it's in some other places too. That video is worth the watch. It is a beautiful thing to see.
Oh, thank you, man. And I love Henry Cho too. I've been knowing Henry Cho forever. We played in Vince's golf tournament together for 25 years. And I was really happy when Henry got in too.
Yeah, well, you know, it's great to see great talent get recognized in that way. And it's also great to hear where that ranks, you know, in your career. It really does mean a lot to you. And if we now kind of turn that clock back just a little bit to, let's say, the 80s, when you were coming up and there was so much incredible talent at that time, T. You had Marty Stewart, Randy Travis. I believe you were touring with Keith Whitley back then. What are some of your most fondest memories from those days in your career?
Well, we were really busy. I was gone from home over 300 days a year during that time. I mean, we were all very, very busy. And it was just a great, great fun. I got to work with all my heroes and get to know them and be friends with them, I'm so proud of that. I call them the one name people. You know, they're not around, most of them, anymore, but Willie, Waylon, Merle, George and Tammy, Conway and Loretta, Kenny and Dolly, all those folks were just great to us. Johnny and June. Mm-hmm. And of course, we all had each other, and we still stay in contact. I got a new album that Dwight Yoakam's on. He was one of the we all came out about the same time, within a year of each other. Randy and Marty and Keith Whitley and Patty Loveless and Dwight Yoakam and Steve Earle. There was kind of a group of us that we were really close friends and still are. And we all see each other and talk to each other and stay in contact with each other. It was a great time, man. We were all having hits and it was big fun. We went all around the world and we had a blast.
Well, I wanted to ask you, because you've toured with so many great artists and you've worked with all these legends that you spoke of. I saw Kenny Rogers at his last performance in a beautiful theater in the round near us called the Valley Forge Music Theater.
And I've been there.
Yeah, beautiful theater.
I've played that place with Kenny.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
I bet When my first record hit, I went out on the road with Kenny immediately. They threw me out there on that Kenny tour, and he was huge. And right. I'd never played any places like that. And yes, we sure did play there at Valley Forge.
Did you like it?
Heck yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, all I'd ever been, I'd been in the clubs for 9 years in Athens, Georgia, but I had confidence, and I just went out there and acted like I knew what I was doing, and they liked me.
Well, that's what you have to do. And yeah, I was just curious because, you know, like you said, he was so big at the time, and I just wondered, what was that experience like for you?
Oh, it was great. Kenny remained, he and I remained friends up until he died. And he was the kindest guy. He was like, really like a regular guy to all of us. He didn't go strutting around or anything like that, but he provided the best sound and lights for everybody. He always had a gourmet chef cook for everybody every night. And he ate with us, the crew, the bands, all the talent, everybody ate together. There was no division or anything like that. Everybody was welcome. He had this tractor trailer. He had the trailer part of one of his, he had several tractor trailers out hauling stuff, but one of them was like a big closet. And he would turn me loose in his closet from time to time and just tell me, hey, man, go get you something. And I still got things here that he gave me. And actually, I can still wear a couple of the things that he gave me. So he was so kind. He was very, very kind.
That's awesome. That's great to hear, the camaraderie and just the when you hear things like that, it gives you reason to have faith in the world, you know, that type of thing. That's great to hear, T. And I remember it was 92, 93, around that time frame, even though I'm from Philadelphia, I really started getting into country music. And it was artists like you and Chris LeDoux, John Berry, Patti Loveless. I started listening to this music. I'm like, what is this stuff? And I remember watching an award show. And I know Reba introduces George Jones, and he comes out. And he starts singing, I Don't Need Your Rocking Chair. And he does a verse or two. And then the curtains behind him lift up. And there's you and Marty and Clint Black, Joe Diffie, I think Pam Tillis and Patti Loveless on the other side. And that guy.
Pardon me, I think Vince was there too.
Yeah, yes, Vince. I mean, it was, I know I'm missing somebody. Oh, Alan Jackson. And it was just amazing to see. And that was Vocal Event of the Year, CMA Award. What was that experience like, and what was it like working with one of your heroes, George?
Well, golly, it was great fun that night. I got a great picture of us actually in the studio recording the song, and we're all standing around a microphone holding lyric sheets, and it's one of my treasured pictures, and George is in it. You know, man, George was a great friend of mine. I called him my Nashville daddy, and he always called me son. And we were playing a place called the Cincinnati Gardens. It was this old, cavernous, huge place. And it would have been when I was just first having hits, and I was doing a show with George Jones and never had met him, and he sent for me. And I was scared to death. And I went to his bus, and he said, look, son, I want you to come over to my place on Monday, and I'm going to take you out to lunch. We're going to go to a meet and three place and get us a good lunch. And I remember driving over there. I was scared to death, and he had a brand new Lincoln. I can remember like it was yesterday, and he was driving that Lincoln, and I was over there in the passenger seat. It was just the two of us, and I was trying to steal a glance at his sideburns. I was wanting to see his hair and his sideburns, but I didn't want him to catch me looking at him. So I just remember it was so wonderful. And we went on to be great friends. I mean, we were really, really great friends.
Wow, that's great to hear.
Yeah, and not everybody gets the chance to work with one of their heroes. Yeah. And then it bloomed into a friendship. So I'm sure that was really a special thing for you. I want to pivot a little bit now, because you've had so many hits in your musical career, but you also somehow stumbled into the world of jingles, doing jingles for Coca-Cola and Burger King and Taco Bell and many, many more. How did that come about?
Well, I started singing demos when I first moved to Nashville from Athens, Georgia in 1982. And my voice got passed around on these demo tapes. These songwriters would write a song and I'd sing it for them. And then they would pitch it around town to try to get it cut. And so producers heard the songs, but they also heard my voice on the tape. So one of them was one of the producers, his name was Ron Chancey. He produced Oakridge Boys, and he did a lot of McDonald's commercials. And he called me up and said, asked me if I wanted to do a McDonald's commercial. And I said, heck yeah. And so I did it, and it turned out to be a Super Bowl. It was on the Super Bowl. And it was now the ad rates on the Super Bowl are into like, what is it, $7 million bucks for 30 seconds, something like that. Well, this was the first $1 million minute. This was the first year they ever sold 60 seconds for $1 million. And it was that McDonald's commercial. So then my phone started ringing, and it kind of got to be, I'm a raspy voice guy, and it kind of got to be anytime anybody needed a raspy voice singer, I got the call. And I did so many jingles. I mean, I haven't counted them, but I bet I've done as many jingles as anybody in history, probably. Or I bet I'm right up there in the top two or three. I mean, I did every, you know, McDonald's, Taco Bell, you know, Hardee's, KFC, Burger King, Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, 7-Up, Mountain Dew, Miller, Stroh's, Coors, Budweiser, every car and truck. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. I did that for 7 years. Disneyland, it's on and on. I really had a good jingle career. It was, and I had a lot of fun.
It sounds
like it. Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Now, in addition to the fun that you had doing the jingles, and in addition to what Rosie said in the beginning as far as just making people happy, T, one of the other things you've done in your career through your songs is bring people hope and help. And one song in particular, Wine Into Water. And I can't think of a song in all the years that I've been a music fan that's had more impact on people than that. Can you share with us the story behind that powerful song?
Well, the whole thing was I got in trouble myself with drugs and alcohol. And I got to a point that I just had to do something about it. You know, I'd get on the horse and ride a while and fall off and get on the horse and ride a while and fall off, but I just never could stay quit. And, I mean, I was heavy into it, and Sheila's over here praying all the time. My mother's praying all the time, and just trying to help me. And one day, it's so goofy, man. It's a cliche of a story. Let me backtrack. In the meantime, a friend of mine, Bruce Burks, told me he was cutting his grass and he thought about Wine Into Water. Well, he was like my best friend, and he knew I was in trouble. I have no doubt in my mind that he meant that song to be for me. And so we all got together, and when we wrote that song, I have no doubt it was about me and for me. But I was still drinking. So I didn't want to sing it in public because I thought that was against God. If I was drunk and go out there and sing Wine in the Water, I just didn't think that was right, you know. And so I put it off for a long time. And Sheila we were at Loretta Lynn's and Sheila said, "You've got to sing this song." So I sang it. Loretta loved it, put it in her show, and eventually recorded it. But anyway, I woke up one morning, man, hungover as usual and feeling bad. And if people don't know what a hangover is, it's being nauseated. You feel like you got the flu, you got a headache. It's just a bad body ache. And the only way to get over a hangover, start drinking again, just get alcohol back in your system. And then you're back in the cycle, you know. It's like wake up, start drinking to get rid of the hangover, and then you're drinking again. And then it's just round and around and around. But this particular morning, I can remember it like it was yesterday. I'm 69 years old, so this would have been probably when I was about 54. I didn't write it down, so I don't know exactly the day. But I think Sheila and I think it's been about 15 years now that I've been totally straightened out. And I got up one morning, man, I looked in the mirror, and I looked like death. And I remember talking to myself, and I said, "Man, what are you doing? You're about to blow everything. This, you got to do something about this, man. You're smarter than this. You got to do something." And, you know, I asked God to help me. And, you know, from that instant, I have not had one craving. I don't even think about it. I mean, I went from thinking about it 24/7. If I was awake, I was thinking, where am I going to get my next buzz? That was all that was really on my mind. Or that was one of the main things on my mind. And I went from being that way to never thinking about it. So that's how I got sober. And that's all wine into water is a prayer to get sober. And it's been passed around the world. It's, you know, it never was a hit, but it's been passed word of mouth mm-hmm. around the world. And I get these messages every now and then. I'll go on the internet or YouTube and read some of the comments that people have left about how wine into water's helped them. And, you know, some of them are in prison. Some of them are going to kill themselves. It's just, one of them I read the other day said, "I just left a meeting in Birmingham, England, of 500 people standing up singing Wine into Water, 500 alcoholics singing Wine into Water." I got a message from a guy a couple of months ago in India that's a filmmaker and said that he saw Wine into Water, the video, one of the videos of it on YouTube, and he made a feature film about it, man. It's called Grace. And it's, he said there's a terrible drug and alcohol problem in India. And he sent me the trailer to it. Man, it's greatest. I mean, it's heavy duty. It's drug deals going down, a guy shooting himself in the head, alcohol. It's heavy. So this, and I hear about it from people at every show. We always meet people after the show and sign autographs and all and have pictures made. And I listen to stories that people tell me of how it's helped them. And if somebody need, you know, somebody might say, "Hey, T, my son's in prison, and I hope he can get a message from Wine into Water." And I'll say, "Hey, let's pray for him right now." And I'll pull their head down close to mine, and we'll say a prayer. I'm here. Sheila and I are here to help people. That's, you know, I make my living singing. But what we really are all about and what we really, really deep in our hearts care about is helping people get sober and stay sober, get their life straightened out, because that's what it's all about. And in the final analysis, is that's what we think anyway. And I tell people these stories when I sing. I'll always end the show with Wine and Water, and I'll tell a story and tell them about it and all. But here, and I'll get off of this and let y'all talk. But the final thing is, man, I'm just trying to save people some trouble. That's all. I just want to save people some trouble. Just learn from me, and it'll all be better. And there's a way out, and God can help you. And don't be hard-headed about it. And one last thing. I'm very bipolar, and we were so happy when Sheila found a doctor that could figure out what was wrong with me. And it turned out I was very bipolar. So I want to urge anybody out there with any kind of mental illness, they make medicine these days that can alleviate the symptoms of the mental illness in most cases. So please go find a doctor, because you don't have to live that way.
Yeah, it's a lot of people talk the talk, but you're walking the walk, and you are making such a huge difference in everything you've done and everything you just said. And for everyone who gets to see this and gets to see and hear your stories at your shows, you are doing such great work above and beyond your music. Thank you so much for doing that.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure. You know, it's a pleasure serving God. It's a privilege to serve God. I mean, he's God. and you're getting to serve God. And that's what the way we look at it, that's the way I look at it. And hey, man, all this other stuff is great, but you know, the bottom line is we're all going to die someday. And I want to go to heaven. So right. I'm just trying to do what I think God wants me to do.
But you know, the thing about it, T, is that not everybody either recognizes the call or answers the call. And it sounds to me like you really moved from being, you know, as a lot of us are, kind of self-involved and what am I going to do and what, you know what I mean? And into how can I serve? How can I help other people? And that seems to be a really important step in bringing everything together and realizing really your purpose here.
Hey, that's what life's all about, people. That's what life's all about. You don't go around thinking me, 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 me. Anybody watching this, life is not about me, 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 me. Just reach out and help somebody. That's what it's all about, and it makes you feel good.
It's true. It's true. Well, we are running out of time, but very quickly, I have to ask you this, because you worked with a very dear friend of mine, Kevin Sizemore, and also a former guest of ours, Chip Rossetti, on the television series, The Dream Motel. Are you still doing that, or how did you get involved with that?
Well, that Dream Motel was just a one episode thing. I love Chip though. And Chip, if you're watching, thanks. I need some more work. Throw me a bone. and Kevin, I got asked to be in this movie called Nashville Wish, and Kevin had a major, major part in it and did great, by the way. And we hung out and just became friends, and now we're great friends. And Gina and Sheila and Kevin and I are great friends, and their son Gunner's at Harvard and studying film, and I'm so proud of him. And I treasure our relationship. Yeah, Kevin's great, boy, and I learned a lot from Kevin, and he's a great actor.
Yes,
and Gina is wonderful. Gina has Health Interrupted podcast. She's got her thing. You know, they're doing great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they are. Now, T, I just have one last question for you, and that is, now that you've gotten to get to know us a little bit, we've gotten to know each other through this conversation, I'm curious, how does the invitation to come on our show compare to the invitation to be inducted to the Grand Ole Opry?
Just a little bit under it. Just a tad under the Grand Ole Opry. It's right up there. It's right.
Well, I think we can handle that. I think that's a big compliment. We appreciate it.
No, it's a great pleasure to be on y'all's show. I appreciate y'all having me.
Well, we're so grateful. You've been bringing so much joy to people over the years, and it sounds like what you're doing now is the perfect blend of your creativity and your service and being fulfilled because of the way you're helping other people. So thank you so much, T. We definitely want to have you back on the show at some point, but we appreciate you coming on. And folks, we thank you for tuning in so much, and we'll see you next week.
Darling, sit down, I need to talk to you. Just hear me through.
We'll be right back.